Let's open your Bibles and we'll have a look in, just open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for now. I'm going to talk about, it's going to kind of, not really, but I can kind of carry on a little bit of what Troy was talking about last week with what comes out of your mouth. And I was kind of hoping that the picture he drew up on the board would still be there. I should have came earlier and asked him to draw it up for us again, but we don't have it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You get the picture. It was a good one. So what comes out of your mouth? And as Christians, what comes out of our mouth? And I'm not going to be talking about gossips and slandering and all this kind of stuff, but if you have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to be taking this verse just a little bit out of context. The context of this verse is talking about tongues. I'm not going to stand up here and start preaching to you in pidgin. Wouldn't be very helpful to you guys. That's basically what this passage is talking about. Don't get up here and start preaching in another language because I know what I'm saying. You don't know what I'm saying. It's not going to help you. It's not going to edify you. But let's have a look at verse 8 and 9. It says, "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak unto the air." Sometimes we just talk a lot, don't we? And Buddy gave me this little card the other day. We were sitting at the cafe and he slips this little thing to me and it says, "Warning, this conversation is being recorded." And I'm like, "Oh." Yeah. And the Bible says we're going to give an account for every idle word that we speak. But here, verse 8, let's look at this one first. It says, "If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" Who's going to prepare themselves to the battle? You know what the trumpet is? Yeah, I've got something really cool here. We're going old school. Hey, look at that. Hey, isn't that cool? Do you know what this is? Now, I've been practicing all afternoon, okay? I'm pretty sure my neighbors don't like me, but you can get the picture, ready? You know that you set the if the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, who's going to get ready for the battle? Can you think of any battles in the Bible that used horns? Come on, give me one. Oh, David. Yeah, I'm sure he blew the trumpet a whole heap of times. Gideon. That is the actual one I'm talking about. Gideon had this really small army of like 300 people, and he gave them all a horn, and he gave them a clay pot and a torch. And I reckon they knew what they were doing with their trumpets, didn't they? Because they were enough to scare the daylights out of their enemy, okay? And so the trumpet, they didn't have text messages and mobile phones and all these kinds of things back then to say, "Hey, the enemy's coming, look out." They blew the horn. There was a watchman up on the gate, and he'd blow the horn, and they'd have different horns for different, well, the same horn, but a different tune. And this point is saying, if someone doesn't blow the horn good, who's going to get ready for the battle? Right. I'm going to try and blow the horn, okay? I don't know how this is going to go for the mic. Is this going to be good for this thing? You ready for this? Took me ages. You can't, don't make me laugh. You can't do it when you... Because you got to... Okay, so you can't laugh when you're blowing on these things. No. No, seriously, I did it. I did do it. All right, no. You're making me nervous. I did blow it. Maybe we'll try again another time, but you can't perform under pressure. Sorry about that. Okay, so basically, if you were to sound the alarm, it'd be like, "Woo!" And everyone would go, "Ah!" and grab their shields and their swords and they'd all go to the battle. But if someone went, they'd go, "What's that all about?" They'd be like, "Did the watchman's kid get that trumpet or what?" And what would happen? What would happen? They wouldn't prepare themselves for the battle, would they? There wouldn't be a great big rush of arms and they'd get there and the army wouldn't be on the gate ready to fight, would they? Okay, let's pray and then we'll look into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, we can look in your word today. We just pray that you help us and you guide us. Help us to blow a clear trumpet, Lord, when we speak, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. This passage, when I was reading through it a little while ago in my devotions, actually worried me, okay? Hopefully it'll worry you. As a Christian, as a missionary, as the preachers or the pastors in this church, we need to be careful. And I read this passage and God convicted me. Have you got it open there? Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 23. Let's read it down to verse 32. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm short breath from blowing on that trumpet. Okay, ready? Jeremiah 23, verse 23 says, this is God speaking to Jeremiah. Actually, let's go back a little bit. God is not happy in this chapter. God is not happy with the Israelites. He's not happy with the priests. He's not happy with the prophets. Look what it says in chapter 1. It says, woe unto the pastors. Woe unto the pastors. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Whoa, that's pretty serious, isn't it? Go down to verse 9. It says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. My heart is broken because of the prophets. Let's go to 23, or verse 11, sorry. It says, for both prophets and priests are profane. There is some serious trouble going on here in Israel. And verse 23, it says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see, so that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Think of Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is desperately wicked. Which think to cause my people to forget my name, by their dreams which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What's the chaff compared to the wheat? What's those little husks and chunks that are left in the sugarcane field compared to the sugarcane? It's nothing. What is the wheat compared to the chaff? Verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say he saith. That's pretty strong talk, isn't it? 32. Says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and not by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit the people at all, saith the Lord. You can see that the Lord isn't happy here. I was worried by this passage. When I read that, I was like, whoa. I needed to check myself out before God. You know, we need to make sure we're in a good standing here. Look what it says. He says, woe, back in verse 1, it says, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. The other Sunday I was talking about the truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? What do they say about Jesus? How do you know what the truth is? How do you know if these people are right or not? What do they say about Jesus? Check what they say about Jesus, and then you can know whether they're true or not. Look at this. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Am I here, he's saying? He's saying, do you think I'm not here? Do you think I don't know what you're saying? Do you think I can't hear you? Do you think you can hide? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Can you get away from God? Can you get away from God? You can read Psalm 139 and you can't go anywhere to get away from God. You can go down into the deepest part, the deepest mine, the deepest hole underground. Hey, God's there. Jonah was in the belly of a fish down in the bottom of the sea. He prayed and God heard him from there. You couldn't even go in a rocket ship and get out into space and be so far away from anyone. God's still there. You can't get away from God. You can't hide from God. God sees everything. He says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Wow, that's pretty scary, isn't it? Warning, this conversation is being recorded.
This is being recorded.
It's being recorded. Not just by a microphone, but by God. That's scary. It's scary. It's comforting. All at the same time, isn't it? That's good, because, you know, God will be the judge. You know, something happens. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. God knows about that. But as Christians, how are we living? Are we blowing a clear trumpet? I wish I could. I promise you, I did do it really good at home. Maybe once, but I did do it. And a clear gospel message. A clear testimony. Look what these, 25, it says, I have heard what the prophets say. They prophesy lies in my name. They're using God's name and they're saying God has said. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard, oh, God said, or God told me? Or you got some demon-possessed drug addict guy who just committed some heinous crime as in prison and he said, oh, God told me to do that. Oh, you've heard stories like that before, haven't you? Did God say? Yea, God hath said. Hey, he is taking God's name and using it badly, using it the wrong way, and God is hating this. I have heard what the prophets say. They prophesy lies in my name. False prophets, false doctrines. You need to be baptized to get saved. You need to do good works to get saved. You need to be part of the 144,000 to be, that's it. We could go on and on and on. I was talking about this last week about truth. False religions, false doctrines, cults, the occult. You know, all the anti-God that is going on, the atheism. Have you looked into atheism? Have you looked into evolution? Have you looked into that? I challenge you, look into it. It is huge. It is so big and it is just so anti-God and it's all taken on faith. And they have a go at us for taking stuff on faith. The Bible says, and you're like, well, your science teacher said, I think the Bible's more reliable than your science teacher. Because these prophets have said, these false prophets, haven't they? They have turned away from God. Look at verse 27 here, talking about this. It says, oh, well, let's read it from verse 26 down. It says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. Where does this come from? It's wicked, it's evil, it is deceitful. Look at Jeremiah 17:9 sometime. And verse 20 says, it says, which think to cause my people to forget my name. What is Satan about? What's Satan about? Do you know what Satan's about? He wants to kick God off the throne and take over. Hey, he's our enemy, isn't he? He is the number one enemy that we've got, and he wants us to forget about God. Look at verse 27. It says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor. Have you had your neighbor tell you something crazy? I had my neighbor tell me something crazy. Before we went away to New Guinea, the person who lives directly behind us and on this side, and I was talking to her over the fence, and she goes, oh, wait a minute, I've got something for you. And she runs back to the house and comes back, and she's got these papers, like probably about 5 or 6 A4 pages. It was quite a bit of notes. And she's saying, this person in our church dreamed this, and this is what we've got to look at. I'm just like, wait a minute. Yeah, you obviously don't read your Bible, do you? Have a look at Hebrews chapter 1. You know, we don't have those prophets anymore. We've got God's word. He speaks to us by his word. We don't have this, oh, I've dreamed dreams. I've dreamed these. Look at this. And what are they trying to do? Turn us away from God so that we forget God and leave him. Look what it says. 27, it says, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They've forgotten me for Baal. How often you read it through the Old Testament, you read it through Judges, and then they fall back into sin and they go back into idolatry, and then their enemies come and God sends a judge and delivers them out, and then they're on top of things again, and then another 40 years later they go back again down into idolatry, and they're always worshipping Baal. Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech and, you know, all these gods of the Philistines and all these people in the land that they've taken. God said, he said, when you go into the land, it says, don't learn their ways. He said, don't learn their ways. Don't learn about the gods that they follow. Don't learn about how they do it. Don't study their gods and their idols and their sacrificial system and what they did. I told you to smash it all, wipe it out, get rid of them, because if you don't, they're going to be a snare around your neck and they're going to be like prickles in your eyes. Oh, that's a pretty fierce description, isn't it? You don't want to be a prickle in someone's eye, do you? And God says they're prophesying these false dreams and these false lies, and they are pulling you away. And they're pulling you away. And they're pulling you away. How many, the Seventh-day Adventists, they say they can break away from the Baptist church. And some lady, Ellen G. White, had these dreams, and she's their prophet. She wrote them all down in a book, and that's okay, we're getting away from the Bible here. Steer clear of that. And they're pulling away. It's a works-based relationship. You've got to keep the law. You read about it in Galatians, and Paul says, oh, foolish Galatians, why are you going back to the law? We can't keep this. It doesn't save you. The law tells you you broke the law and you sinned and now you're condemned. The law tells you you went over 60 and now you've got a fine for it. The law's not going to save you. The law condemns. The law puts you in prison and kills you and hangs you, the Old Testament law, like you're talking about, capital punishment. How many people were stoned under the Old Testament law? A guy was walking around collecting firewood on the Sabbath day. And they said, oh, Moses, what do we do about this guy? Well, let's pray about it. Lock him up. God, what do we do? Well, God says stone him, right? Whoa, public example. Public example, pulled away. But now people are pulling us away from God, pulling us out and away so that we forget God. 28, it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff compared to the wheat? Now God's comparing the two. Okay, I'm not talking about now we're going to prophesy and tell dreams or anything, but this is what God is telling Jeremiah here. He says, what is the wheat? We got these false prophets and they're just making this stuff up and they're having these dreams and they're leading the people away. But he says here, he says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Faithfully. Let him speak my word faithfully, a clear trumpet. What comes out of your mouth? A clear trumpet. Clear sound. If I could do it, I'd do it every time I said trumpet, I think. Let him blow a clear trumpet so that people can hear a clear message. What is the wheat compared to the chaff? What's the chaff do? Get swept up, raked away, blown away in the wind, set on fire and wasted. But the wheat's the good stuff. The wheat's the good stuff. Look at this, what he says about his word. 29, it says, is not my word like a fire? God's word is strong. God's word is powerful. The word of God, whoa, it's like a fire. It's going to judge. My God is a consuming fire. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and a hammer? A hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces, a hammer. And how many times has God used his word to hammer someone's stone heart and smashed it to pieces? Hasn't he done that? Has he done in your life? Your stone, hard heart, and you, everyone would give up and go, that guy never gets saved. His heart is so hard. And God's word just penetrates it and smashes it and gives him a new heart. Isn't that incredible what God's word can do? God's word is powerful. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. God says, false prophets, false religions. Why, we need to be careful. We need to be careful. Turn over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, some of you will know this passage. It's a good picture. It's a good picture of the people and of Israel, of God giving a job to Ezekiel. Let's look at this. See, this is where I need to blow my trumpet again. Verse 1. Ezekiel 33, verse 1, it says, "Again the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if he seeth the sword come upon the land and blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head." So you know what he's saying? He says, when there's your city is under attack and you put someone, you got someone in your army and he's going to sit up all night long and they're going to watch and see if the enemy's coming. It's his job. And if he comes, he'll blow the trumpet. And if someone's just lazy in the city and goes, "Meh, I heard the trumpet. Oh, I can be bored. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning." And then everyone else jumps up and grabs their swords and run off, and the city gets besieged and that guy gets killed. That's his own fault because he ignored the trumpet, isn't it? "His blood shall be upon his own head." Verse 5, it says, He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." So saying, if you hear that trumpet and you respond, hey, you'll do well. You'll get out of the city. You'll survive. Verse 6, "But if the watchmen see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." So what happens to the guy who doesn't blow the trumpet and the enemy comes? Well, that's a capital offense, isn't it? Yeah, that's right. Firing squad, off with his head. Yeah, look what he says. Look at what God says to Ezekiel. "See thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman." You see that picture there? He set Ezekiel as a watchman. "Unto the house of Israel, therefore, thou shalt hear the words of my mouth and warn them from me." So Ezekiel has been given the task of God to warn the people of Israel. He says, you know the deal of a watchman. You blow the trumpet. And if anyone doesn't hear it, well, that's not your problem. You've warned them, you've told them, you've given them a warning. If they didn't heed it, then that's up to them. But you must tell them, Ezekiel, you are the watchman and I want you to warn my people. Warn my people. Warn the people. Hey, who wants to be the bearer of bad news? No, you don't like being the bearer of bad news? You know when you got some bad news to say? Anyway, one time when I was an apprentice, I made a mistake once or twice, maybe. And I go up to my boss and you're like, mm-hmm. And he looks at you and you got this really long, sheepish face and he's like, "What did you do?" And you're like, mm-hmm. You know, you go, "You're the bearer of bad news." Or like, "You didn't even do it and you got to say what happened." Oh, man. But you know what? We are God's spokesman. We are the ambassadors of Christ. It says it in Corinthians. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Go have a look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We've got all this talk about trumpets and watchmen and all this kind of other stuff, and you don't really know what I'm talking about and what's the point of all this. But there is a point, I suppose. There is a point that God has set us to be watchmen. He set us to be the ambassadors. He has sent us to warn people. To warn people of the trouble that's going to come. The big broad road which leads to destruction. There is destruction up ahead. We need to tell people, hey, go off. We are signposts pointing people to Christ. We need to blow the trumpet and let the people know, look out, there's destruction down there. Don't go, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. Hell is down there. If you don't turn, go to Christ. And if they keep going past us, then we can't force them, okay? Their blood is on their own heads, but we have told the people. And if some people heed and they go, "Oh, yeah, wow, thanks for telling me." You know, how thankful are you for the person who witnessed to you? Are you thankful to the person who witnessed to you? Who witnessed to you and prayed for you? How many years? My grandma came and drove way out of her way to pick me up to bring me to Sunday school. You're thankful for those people that pray for you? The watchman. And we need to watch out for people's souls. That's what our job is. Our job is exactly like what God gave Ezekiel to do. We're not prophets, but we're God's spokesman. We are ambassadors. And we need to tell people about Christ. Look what it says. You're in here in 1 Corinthians 15. Have a look there. Back at 14 and verse 9. It says, "So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood." Easy to be understood. Do you know how to give the gospel easily to somebody? Have you ever listened to somebody and they're just babbling on and you don't know what they're talking about? Right. Yeah, well, now. Happens every Sunday, doesn't it? Don't say that. You know what I'm talking about, though. And you've got no answer, and you start challenging someone about what they believe, and then they change the story, and they go on. You know, the gospel is really simple. Have a look over there in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. See, we need to blow a clear trumpet. Man, I really wish I could blow that well. I only got it today, my excuse. I've had half an hour of practice on it, so I'm not that good. But if I could, I would blow it. I would be blowing it the whole night probably, and you'd be sick of hearing it. But we need to blow a clear trumpet, a clear message, so that people know to get ready for the battle. So people know what our message is. Have a look. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all," I think this is actually probably the most clearest, simplest explanation of the gospel. If you're looking for a verse in the Bible that's just got the gospel just laid out clear and easy to understand and easy to repeat and easy to give something, to give to somebody, here it is. It says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." See, we've got to get it first. "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Pretty simple, isn't it? "And that how he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen of above 500 brethren all at once, of whom are all remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Many people saw Jesus after he rose. There's the gospel. That is a clear message of the gospel. A clear message of the gospel, a clear trumpet being rung out, being sounded out and given to people, and not something confusing. Sometimes, yeah, the Bible says don't get caught up. Doubtful disputations, endless genealogies, you know, some of science falsely so-called. Don't go there. Don't go with it. You don't need to go down that track. You don't need to argue. You need to defend the faith. You need to give a clear testimony. You've got to give a clear gospel message. A clear gospel message. Just a clear one that rings out clear, that isn't confusing, and it's like, hey, I can hear something, but I'm not quite sure what it is. There's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Two verses. There's the gospel in two verses. There's the gospel. It's clear. It's easy. It was written in the Scriptures. The Pharisees knew all this. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Christ. But there it is, a clear message. Blow out the trumpet. Clear, simple, understandable, so people can do it. And that's our job. That's our job as Christians. That's all it is, folks. We sow and we water, but God gives the increase. You know, we work so hard sometimes and we try and force growth and we try and force people to get saved and we try and force all this and that, but it's our job just to tell people, just to warn people and tell them again and tell them again. And it's the Lord's work to save people. That's God's job. But we need to give a clear message so that people can get it. Amen. So us preachers, we need to be careful. I was majorly challenged when I read that verse. And the last verse before we go, I'm going to finish this off. Go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 17. God has given us opportunities. You know how sometimes God gives you opportunities and he's like, go talk to him, and you kind of... And you don't, or you have it, and you kind of, and you get all nervous and all this kind of stuff. But God gives us opportunities to take, and sometimes we don't take them, and it's like, ah, too late now. Ah, and you feel bad, or you don't do something you should have done. You haven't. Have a look at this verse here. This is another super challenging verse. James 4:17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a challenging verse, isn't it? He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Give a clear message. Give a clear gospel, simple message to people. Be faithful. Let God give the increase. But do God's work and be a good testimony. And your testimony is also your trumpet too. What's your testimony like? Testimony is huge. What we say is huge. It is so important. What we say, the way we behave, the way we live, the way we take God, do we take God seriously? Man, God's word is like a hammer. Whoa, it can smash in pieces the rock. It's a fire. Man, that is huge. Let's think about that. As we go about our lives, think about what we do for God, what God has for us to do, to be his spokesman, to be ambassadors for Christ, to give a clear gospel message and to do good. Hey, not doing good because it saves us, but we're saved and so we need to do good. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. We know your word is powerful. And is a fire that judges. It's like a hammer that can smash the rock into pieces, Lord. You can even break men's hearts, hardened hearts, Lord. And we just thank you that you've saved us, Lord, that we can have a good, clear message that you died for our sins. You are buried and you rose again, Lord. We just thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. We just pray that you help us, that you can guide us and give us wisdom. Help us to live lives that are worthy of you. Help us to be faithful in doing your work, Lord. And that we can sow and water and you'll give the increase. Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.